once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greet you in that name that is above every other name. And we've got Brother Patrick Kabongo in the house. Pat, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here. How's everybody today?
All right, there we go. Yeah, we're getting this down. We're getting the Spreaker studio down and figuring out how to use all of these things. And so all you guys out there that are listening in, Pat and I, we were just having a call and we said, you know what? Let's just take this and let's play around and let's go straight to audio. So Pat, how you doing, brother?
You know what? It's been time of for sure trial and actually questioning if it's even right. It's mostly like, you know, wanting to, you know, how do we get this thing being better? How does that? Did you hear that sound? Is it
that? Yeah. Let's see. What is that sound?
Yeah, it's really that, like, how to really serve the God that we know every single day the way we're supposed to do it, like, the way I was supposed to do it, I guess, the way
Yeah, and, you know, that is one of the challenges that, you know, we all seem to face while we're here in this life and in this world, is because we're tested in that, right? You know, we're tested in the reality of the decisions that we make. We're tested in the things that come up and the situations that come up and the situations that arise. And how do we respond? You know, because the thing is, too, is like, it's easy to, when everything's going well, to you know, kind of be down with God's program, right? I mean, when the children of Israel were going, I was reading this the other day, you know, when the children of Israel were got liberated and went through across from, you know, through the Dead Sea, and or not the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, you know, God separated the waters and they walked across, and you know, in that situation on the other side, everybody's celebrating, and you know, all the women are coming out with tambourines and dancing around and praising God. But, you know, then the trials come not too many verses later, and everybody's mad. Everybody's upset, you know? And it's just like, and it's, I mean, there's definitely the human side of our experience, which can be rough sometimes because, you know, we have these things that are difficult. You know, and then the question then comes through the mind of the mortal being, which is, okay, God is all powerful, all knowing, all present, right? So we've all learned that in that Bible class of God's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, you know, all the omnis. And it's like, okay, so he's everywhere, he knows and he can do something. So since God can do something, then the question starts coming into our mind. Then we start having the why. You know, the why comes up. Okay, why the suffering? Why the difficulty? Why the struggle? Why did this thing get through? You know, because I think, you know, among even people that are close to us, recently a lot of us, you know, have been, you know, varying degrees, but just been, it's been rough times recently. And, you know, and the question is like, okay, the infamous then why, you know, and I think this is part of being real, you know, in our walk and our relationship with God, because I don't think, Pat, did anywhere in our church experience, did anybody tackle that sufficiently in any of the conversations that we had with people there?
I honestly don't think so. Like, I think, like, I mean, maybe a couple times they alert to it, but it's, I think for us more, for me, I want to speak for me, because I would speak for me. I think church, I want it to be real. I want it to be specific. I want it to be you know, what God is doing, like, you know, I don't want that's exactly what I think we're looking for. We want to make sure that the church address those battles.
Pat, I think your Skype is cutting in and out, man. If I'm not sure on the settings on that side, but it's coming through a little bit splotchy. And this is, again, we're having the strange technical difficulties as soon as we're starting to try to do this. But yeah, no, from what I heard from you said there, it was like, you know, that's something that we wanted for sure, you know, in our church experience, but we didn't get, because so often when it came down to the actual questions that of life, that, you know, those weren't answered. Those weren't answered in the, they were glossed over, or we were given a pat answer. We were given a glossing over the surface thing, and then we were told not to question anything, right? And so,
yeah.
Because it's like, you know, but then that doesn't satisfy then it doesn't satisfy the issue at hand. It doesn't satisfy with the life that we deal with while we're here on the earth. So,
yeah.
You know, the question of, okay, why do difficult situations arise in the life of the believer? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do, you know, those kind of things, which nobody wants to, because in most people's mindsets, you know, the way that it should work is good things should happen to good people, bad things should happen to bad people. And that's just the way that life should be if this was a logical or a world that made sense. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but then the reality is that it's not like that. I mean, the reality of living in an inverted world is that a lot of the most wicked, depraved, crazy people have been the ones that have been making the decisions what has run the world and the world system. And a lot of the good people and people with solutions and people with innovations and ideas have just suffered on the fringes, if not been wiped out, for doing nothing more than just being who they are and trying to help. So, you know, how long does that situation go on for? How long does that continue on for? And how long do we, so I think that's a little bit more in line with the reality of why the whole thing does wrap up. That's part of the reason why, you know, we have the vision of the prophet Daniel and, you know, where the whole thing gets crushed and destroyed and there's no trace of it anymore.
And I think also it's from, like I said, I speak for myself, like, you know, why are we getting deluded when it comes down to church? Like, you know, like some churches are really, and they're small, they're fighting the good fight. Like, they're nothing, they're not fighting the good fight, but do that super warfare compared to, you know, other places, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we definitely know a few good ones out there, and they're small and they're few and far between. But yeah, it's a good question, man. Like, why do these other ones? And I think there's some answers in the scriptures about it too, which is that, you know, there are infiltrators that go and they try to work their way in, and they get the confidence and they become part of the system and the leadership, and then they take it over and they take it off the cliff. So that's happened time and again, and I think a lot of time when people, you know, they walk with God and they follow the call, but also then too, there's a lot of other things that they don't know, or they don't know a lot of the skills they don't have. And, you know, none of us are spiritual all the time. And so it's just like they've got weak spots and they miss some things. And in the process of missing some things, bad people come in and work things over.
Exactly. And also you feel like it's, you know, let me change this setting actually.
I mean,
Yeah.
I'll give you a second while you're getting that sorted there. But yeah, no, it's just, you know, because the thing is too, is that in the middle of all of this, you know, we're living on this planet, and we're here by God's direction and God's design, and we're here for this window. And but yeah, it's just like, okay, well, how do we live in that window? And especially since it's not just that you know, the answers are not there in so many of these questions, that it's deficient what people end up providing. But it's also the fact too that it's just like, it's actually misleading. It's actually a deception that people are being given in these circles, and it can shipwreck your life, because you can be waiting for something or expecting something that's not true. It's not accurate. It's a misrepresentation of what God said. It's a misrepresentation of what the truth is. You know, I mean, you know, how many, think back, Pat, to like, say in college, right? How many books were there published on dating during those
church? A million books.
And how many people's lives were destroyed because of those books and that religiosity and this false teachings about relationships and life and all the rest of it, that just got people looking for all these things that didn't exist. I mean, how many people can you think of that were destroyed by that? I know several.
I can think about a million people, like a ton of people that
yeah.
You know, we encounter, and you know, let's read this book about this, and let's be part of, you know, let's live life like that. And but it's, at the end of the day, you know, to find themselves.
Wait, say that again, Pat. Do you say at the end of the day they find themselves what?
Still being single.
Yeah.
You know, and they spend so much time, like, you know, enjoying the single life. And you find yourself at, you know, single forever. And you're like, well, did I do the right thing? You know, and it's like, why?
Yeah. And you know, the reality is that there's a way that certain things just are, and there's a way that certain things work. And there's a reality of what God has said, and there's a reality of what he did not say. You know, because that's something too, where it's just kind of like, I think this has been one of the big deceptions that has happened, is that, and Jesus alluded to this while he was walking on the earth, man. When he was walking around and he's talking to people, and he said, look, you know, this is what's been instructed in the scriptures, but, you know, you guys have gone and you've taken the scriptures, and now you've got your own man-made traditions, and you observe the man-made traditions, but you disregard the commandments of God. And that's kind of, you know, what I think we've ended up with in most religious circles, is the destruction of the truth and a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And in the end, people have just missed it. And, you know, and I think that is part of the problem, part of the issue that we face, is that we have a misunderstanding and we have a misteaching and a misunderstanding about who God is and about how God relates to us and about how God relates to our time here on the earth. And that's a big one, because people will fight tooth and nail to protect a church tradition that has nothing to do with the truth of God. And
exactly. It has nothing to do with the truth of God. Like, and that's where, for me, I'm at. It's What does God wants me to do exactly? And that's a question everybody should ask himself. What does God want me to do? And how? What about the
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's one of these things, man, where it's just like, I think without that revelation. Now, here's the other part of it too. You kind of see this with when Paul was walking on the earth. He said, you know, that like, once he had that revelation of Christ Jesus on the Damascus Road, he went on to the backside of the desert for 3 years. And later on, he said, look, the what I got from God, I got it from direct revelation. God taught this to me. And then he went forward to compare notes and to share and to teach and to do the ministry that God gave him to do. And I think that's an important piece because it's in line, too, with what Jesus said, is that he said, you need that no man teach you because the Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. So I think that now the place that human beings and, you know, leadership in the body of Christ may have is to help to bring out or to help to quicken or to help to sometimes just, you know, reinforce something that God is showing you. But God is the one that's quickening it in your own heart and spirit.
And that's real. Like it's God needs to quicken whatever he needs to within your spirit. Like,
yeah.
And that's where we should all be. And that's where I strive to be, is to hear from him. Like literally hear his voice. Like take this step. Take that step. No, don't go there. Say this word. Say that word.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, like, you know, when Jesus went in and he fasted for 40 days, do I need to fast for 40 days? So I can literally hear from him.
Yeah.
You know? We all need to do that. We all need to be at a place where, like, he speaks to us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's a good question, man. And I think that comes down to the individual as well, because God calls. I've seen for myself in my own life when the times have been when God has kind of called me into that. It's very different than the times where I've tried to do something on my own. But when he calls us into a time of prayer, calls us into a time of fasting, he's kind of right there with us in it, you know? Whereas when it's us kind of trying to do it as a religious practice, it's hard, it's laborious, and you know, and it just doesn't quite work, you know. I mean, I remember when, like, there would be, I don't know, like times where people would try to put it on you to do certain things like that, and I remember that it just didn't work. I mean, like, you'd do it, but it was just hard, you know. It's just there was no, God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's like, and yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do fasting, but you can feel when it's something led by the Spirit and that he's right there with it. And when you cut away from, you know, food or drink or something that's going to be, or you just cut certain things out so that you can focus on the things of God, in the process of doing that, he's right there with you in that, and you could feel kind of an upswelling of the Spirit in that time where you may be backing off some of the natural things. But yeah, Jesus did say when you fast, not if you fast. So something that we do have as part of our spiritual discipline and part of our spiritual weaponry. But you know, even with something like that, I mean, we never talked about that. I mean, I guess we talked about it some in some of the churches we were involved with, but it wasn't, I don't think we ever realized the significance of it or the power that was in it.
You know what? I looked it up on YouTube and different places and how to fast, right? And I tell you, not many people talk about that. Like, there's people that talk about it, but it's not something that you would have in a quote unquote, they would speak about it at churches.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's not something like fast will be, okay, as a church, we're going to fast for the next 2 days. Most churches don't do that. They don't ask the faithful to do that.
Yeah.
But that's just a common practice, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Because you think about, like, the direction that God wants a church to go, and it shouldn't be just decided by, I mean, I'm not saying the pastor decides everything. As the church, everybody comes together, everybody starts to work on this.
Yeah.
Right, so.
No, it's a powerful discipline, man. And, you know, I think part of it, too, is just us hearing from God directly. You know, that's what we want. I mean, in the end, that's what we want, is we want to hear from God directly so that we know the way that we need to go and we know how to deal with the things that come up in this life. Because we need to. You know, whenever we face a struggle and a difficulty, we need to hear from Him. We need to know what He says about it. We need to know how to read it, how to interpret it. And, you know, I think, Pat, we've come to a place where, you know, we can't have a glossy surface answer. You know, we can't have something that just comes out of a book as just a pattern of here's how you deal with this. I mean, it's got to be from God. We got to hear from Him because there's just too much, you know, there's too much on the line. There's too much at stake. There's, you know, our souls and the souls of other people are in the balance. And we want to make sure that we walk this thing out the right way. So,
yeah,
you know, that's part of what we're facing. So we need the real deal.
Exactly that. We do need the real deal. We need the real deal.
Yeah. So I think the struggle that we've all been facing though recently though is because too. You know, part of it is, I mean, if you want something that's real and you're willing to go with God, it's part of the journey is that, and Jesus even promised this in John 16 at the end of the chapter. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, take heart, for I've overcome the world. So it's like, you know, it's part of the struggle is that we face trouble, you know, and we've got to overcome that trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a comfortable thing. It's not a comfortable reality, but it is the reality nonetheless. But
exactly. You know,
then the thing is, then how do we overcome that? Because, you know, I think there's a few ways, a few things that I've seen. One way is to not be in it in the first place. That comes a little bit by being led by the Spirit, where I think God allows us to avoid certain things, or He pulls us out of certain situations. You know, another one is God puts us into situations because it serves His purpose. That was a tough one for me, was because, like, you know, sometimes He will deliberately put us into a place where we kick over the beehive, and then He'll walk us out of it. But, you know, we just got put right in the middle of the lion's den, because that happens. I mean, that's scriptural. You know, God puts Daniel right in the middle of the lion's den because he did the right thing. But in those situations, God is with us and He protects us and He leads us out of there. But it's a difficult situation. There's betrayal involved. There's struggle. There's, you know, you're alone. You've not done anything wrong and you're still being thrown to the lions. They just don't get to eat you. But if the world had their way, they would have had you eaten in a moment.
Yep, exactly. And it just seemed like, I mean, we've seen that, me and you, back and forth, where it's like we're always in the battle. Always in the battle. You know, there's always something thrown not just on us, on the family, on what we do, on the things that we do, part of it.
And
we've seen that with some of the people we, you know, we feel like, you know, some of the people we know in the group is just like,
I think we do, we see that, you know, we see a lot of people that are under attack because they've done good work and they're seeking to follow God and they're seeking to be true and they're trying to go forward with what he shows them. And, but yeah, they're in battle as a result of it. You know, there's that scripture that does say too, you know, that if you remain in him and your words, his words remain in you, you know, you bear much fruit. And that thing about overcoming is part of it too, is just to remain in Christ. You know, it's that place, that spiritual position where we trust him no matter what the situation is. But I think too, it's just, it's sometimes, man, it's just rough because we don't want to, it would be nice to have, if at all possible, be at peace with before God and man. But it just seems like that's a rough one to do because a lot of people don't want to be at peace.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, I guess, you know, one of the things too is just for people that are listening today, you know, a couple of takeaways. One is just that, you know, to be embattled in this life and in this world is part and parcel of the journey here. You know, God told us that and he put it in his word for us. And, and I think that's something that we should have been getting taught while we were in church. But if nothing else, we're going to tell people now just so that they know. Like, you know, you're going to, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Take heart, God's overcome the world. Know that your weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual in Christ Jesus. Know that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, high places. You know, did a bit of an audio recently on it's called The Watchers. You guys can go back and check that. But we talked about, you know, where these guys came from and why they're still here and how they're still here. And also that you have that understanding of these demonic presences and these evil spirits and these watcher angels and all of this stuff that's there. You know, another thing, too, is that this is an interesting one. But if people do go and read the Book of Enoch anytime soon, we start reading it. One thing that's interesting is when God talks about, you know, the culmination of the age, the people that are taken are, you know, like, because when we were taught about the rapture and stuff in church, everybody talked about, like, the people of God being, you know, taken off of this world that's going into chaos and everything else, and they're being, like, raptured out, right? Well, in the Book of Enoch, it talks more about, in the end times, the people that are taken out are the weeds. Not the wheat, but the weeds are removed. The evil ones are the ones that are removed, not the children of God. And it's interesting because if you look at, just read the story of Noah, but it's all the evil ones were the ones that were taken off the face of the earth. Noah was carried on. You know, Noah and his sons and his and their wives and all of them, they're the ones that remained on the earth. So, you know, if it's as in the days of Noah, if that's as it's going to be in our days and our time, doesn't that change the perspective a little bit when, you know, when you realize a little bit too more, like Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth, that it's going to be quite possibly, if the Book of Enoch is to be taken as a text for consideration, which I definitely see that it is, because it's quoted in the book of Jude, it's quoted in a lot of other places. That being the case, okay, well, how do we change our approach if we realize that it's the wicked and the evil and the children of the devil that are uprooted off of this earth and are bound up into bundles and thrown into the fire to be burned, and then God's wheat is taken into his barn? You know, what if that's the switch? What if that's the change? Does that change the way that we behave? Does that change the way that we act? Does that change the way that we look at our time on the earth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I ask that because, man, I tell you what, there's so many people that were always, when we were growing up, just always looking to get out of here. You know, they just were looking for the exit. And they missed the reason for being here.
Well, and that's the thing, like, there's a reason why we're here. And we all got time, you know, that we're going to be on earth. And it's what we do with it. Like,
yeah.
Either way, at some point we're all going to check out. We all check out at different times. Right? So, but while you're here, it's when you gotta serve him. You serve him.
Yeah.
And you literally live for him and exactly what he's calling you to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's where too, I think, where we get the challenge too of our own expectations, because there's that other piece, right? Maybe this is part of the dying to self that we struggle with, because there's that other piece where it's like, okay, we live for him, but then along the way we've been made with certain desires, certain thoughts, maybe some of it's plugged into us by, you know, our time where we've been, you know, around the world and everything else. Maybe some of this stuff is God-given, you know, but whatever it is, putting those desires before God and letting him be the one to orchestrate and to lead and to guide the fulfillment of the things that might be in your heart. But, yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, we want to follow God and we do that. But somewhere in our mind, that thought process has always been there that, yeah, if we follow God, then things should kind of work out. Right? Like, good things should happen if we follow God. And, you know, like, yeah, and I mean, for sure, in the long run, you know, in the eternal sense, that's absolutely true. But the journey that we have in this life, is it the case for that? I mean, I think from what I've seen for myself is that I've had a fulfilled life. That for sure. Like it's been an extremely full life, and I've not lacked for anything of need or of anything of substance. God has always provided. So he's provided the needs, and it's been a full and a fulfilled life, but it's not been what you would expect. You know, what I would have expected if I said, okay, this is the way that it's going to be or going to happen if you're following Jesus.
Yeah,
but you know, so it's a challenge. You know, it's a challenge to deal with our own expectations, man. I mean, you know, because we definitely have them, and you know, and then it's just kind of like, okay, well, what do we do with those expectations? Do we? Is it? Yeah, I mean, it's. Although sometimes too, man, when I've looked back as well, there has been a blessing in certain times where certain things didn't happen the way that I thought they would, or maybe there was some reason for something. I mean, Pat, I'll give you one example that you were familiar with. So when I was doing my master's degree, you remember I ended up spending an extra semester just to write, because they liked what I was doing and everything, and everything worked out with the college, and they asked me to just spend a little time, extra time writing. And so it delayed my graduation by a semester. But you remember the timing of that. In the end, I graduated on, what was it, December 18th, And then I was traveling to Sri Lanka on December 26, 2004, when the tsunami happened.
Exactly.
And you were there. It was you the right
timing.
The airport.
It was exactly the right timing. As you were actually flying over, as you were flying, literally, that's when the tsunami happened. Like, hours
Between
your flight. Like, you know.
And so on one level, like, you know, I could have finished my degree earlier, but there was just something about the timing of certain things around that window. And it's just like looking back on that now, today, you know, now it makes so much sense. Of course, God's hand and God's timing. But if I would have graduated earlier, I probably would have taken a job somewhere else and I wouldn't have been able to do anything. If it had been later, I would have missed it. I wouldn't have been free. I couldn't have gone. And a lot of stuff happened that impacted, you know, not just my life, but the lives of a ton of people as a result of just being in step with God's timing. So I think there's that element there too, is just that when we flow with God, we allow for Him to orchestrate our lives, that He also knows where He wants us, when He wants us there, what He wants to happen in particular things, and we've got to be open for that. And I think, you know, it's a struggle, because the thing is, like Jesus said to His brothers, He said, look, anytime's good for you guys, but I got to be about my Father's business. And you know, that's the thing, is like anytime is okay for us because we think like people, you know, because that's what we're around most of the time. And the thinking like people is like there's, you know, it's just we, you know, every time should be okay. Everything should be now, you know, why wait for anything? But, you know, God's got his purpose. So I think there's that element there too that we've got to be mindful of, is just that if we turn our lives over to the Lordship of Christ, then He's also in charge of the timing of our life and the timing of events. And if there are things that seem like they're delayed, or if there's things that just seem like a struggle, or there's things that just seem like, you know, that get put off or that don't happen, just even trusting him in those as well is important, because then we're open for the larger reality and the bigger picture. Because we've got to both trust that Romans 8:28, you know, that God causes all things to work together for the good of the called according to His purpose. You know, and there is that need to experience that and that promise and that truth of God's.
Yeah, and that's where I think we, for a lot of people, they miss the mark, because are we always listening to Him, or are we listening to the outside voice?
Yeah,
you know, it's really that. Like, are we listening to Him, or are we listening to the outside voice? Because there's a lot of outside voice out there.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And we got to be able to defer what is God and what is an outside. It's a noise.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So it's really that. And that's where, for me, I come to
Yeah.
Only. And I mean, when you listen to like Zaf or even Kamita, they talk a lot about that, about what's His will. Also the question, sometimes I ask myself that question. Why am I questioning God's will? What He wants? Maybe she can hear God's right.
Can we say that again, Pat?
I said it should be clear exactly what He wants from us.
Yeah.
Right? Why are we asking ourselves so often, what does He want me to do?
Yeah. Well, I think the reason too sometimes we ask that is because we start going down a particular track that we see and we feel that this is what God wants us to do. And then in the process of going down that track, we get hit smack dab in the face with something that contradicts the instruction we just got. But I think sometimes too, that's also can be a mark that we're on the right journey, that we're on the right track. Because, you know, the opposition is part of it. You know, the opposition is part of the journey. So, yeah, you know, so we just wanted to touch base with you guys out there a little bit and bring you in on the conversation that Pat and I were having. We're going to wrap up here in a little bit. But, Pat, any final thoughts, man? Any closing words, encouragement for these guys?
Closing words, keep on keeping on, people. Just keep seeking him. Really seek him. And, you know, if you need to, you know, to be at a place where you need to hear him and you need to exclude, you know, put yourself away from everybody, do it. To hear his voice. I think that's important. And that's myself speaking to myself. Right? But to everybody else out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And I'll agree with you on that one, my brother, because I think it's just, you got to keep on keeping on. You know, I saw that video of ours from some time back where we were over in Vancouver and we asked the question, live in the moment. I mean, be here now, you know, focus on the things of God, focus on what God's put in front of you to do and to be. You know, you got to trust him. You got to trust him in your struggle. You got to trust him in your weakness. You got to trust him in whatever it is that's in front of you, because in the process of whatever you face, you're going to see his hand. You're going to see him glorified because you go through and you're his extension in the earth at such a time as this. You're the ambassadors of Christ at such a time as this. So, it's all good. You know, you guys, you got to just trust God and know that he's in control. Remain in the vine. Let his words remain in you. You're going to bear fruit. It's all going to be good. So with that, we love you guys out there. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can reach us there. All right. God bless you guys.
God bless you guys. Take care.